Hello, welcome to the Level 1 News of July 29th, 2020. Today is going to be business and robot. Krista is glamping.
Wonder if she's done glamping at this point. Think she's on her way back?
No.
Did she take the dog?
Yes. I don't know. Probably did.
So it's, many questions.
Seems like she'd be tired of Rue after, 48 hours continuous of Rue. It's like Rue's like, oh my gosh,
there's
a squirrel.
Well, some interesting news this week. I guess the biggest news, which I don't think anybody was really shocked by this, but it is there was a long tunnel, and there was just a little speck of light. Maybe a speck of light at the end of the tunnel.
Turns out it was a lightning bug.
But it turns out that, the tunnel, they're not anywhere close to the end. It will continue on at least till, was it 2022?
2022, it sounds like. Intel says that its 7-nanometer chips are, surprise, delayed by at least a year. Intel had their earnings call, and Bob Swan had answered some tough questions on their earnings call. Now, Intel, to be sure, their earnings are up. They're doing exceptionally well. They're doing better than their guidance in terms of their financials. Bob Swan, an accountant by trade, bean counting, has done an exceptional job making lemonade from lemons. But the fact remains that Intel's 10-nanometer process, which has slipped and slipped and slipped and slipped, and now also there's news that the 7-nanometer process is going to slip. Because remember, a year ago, they were telling us, well, the 10-nanometer process has some flaws, but, these things take so long. We've been developing the 7-nanometer process in parallel, and the 7-nanometer process is going to save us, and it just isn't going to matter. The 10-nanometer is not that great. They actually hedged their bets and said, as a backup plan, we're going to work with other foundries to produce chips or to produce some of their stuff, maybe their graphics and some other things. So that's kind of like a big deal.
Yeah. The stock market did not care for it. And
even though they're doing exceptionally well financially.
But they do have that other company nipping at their heels. Although at this point, you might be thinking more of an upper thigh situation. And they just keep coming with more. This one isn't very exciting. However, if you're somebody who is thinking about building a system for your homebound relatives, a Facebook machine, a Twitter machine, they don't really need that discrete graphics card. Some great choices for you for the desktop now.
AMD brings power and performance of the Ryzen 4000 Renoir processors to desktop PCs. Hot Hardware has the article. These are currently chips that are shipping directly to OEMs and system manufacturers. There's not really anything in the enthusiast space. All of these CPUs are 65 watts or less. 8 cores with integrated Vega. So, that'll make a perfectly reasonable, business class machine. Heck, you could put it in a tiny, sub 1 liter volume computer, and it will be more than adequate. AMD promises that something is coming for the DIY and enthusiast space, and August is here, so probably just a few weeks away from that.
Now, if you recall, Apple has made a huge announcement. They're moving to ARM. They're going to make their own chips. Moving away from who?
Intel.
Oh, more bad news for Intel. But I wonder, Apple had to know, right?
They had to know.
And you got to wonder how they feel about this one.
NVIDIA pursues ARM for a disruptive acquisition that could send shockwaves. Why isn't Apple bidding on ARM? I don't know. Yeah. So, NVIDIA and ARM, if they can get past the regulatory hurdles, I think SoftBank overpaid for ARM when SoftBank picked up ARM. But this could be a good way to, NVIDIA may not have to spend a lot of money here. NVIDIA could work a deal with ARM where they say, look, we're going to give you some cash, but the value that you invested in ARM, it's basically not worth that. But if you take some kind of weird stock option or value option, we're going to add so much value to ARM that if you just wait and cash that in as NVIDIA stock or something like that, you're going to get an incredible dividend on your investment, even though you're overpaid for ARM. So if the regulatory hurdles aren't really a big deal, that could be a huge financial windfall for SoftBank without NVIDIA really having to dip into their war chest all that much.
Unless the global economy collapses because there's a pandemic.
Well, yeah. The little details.
I don't think that NVIDIA would let them stay independent. I think they would gobble them up. There would be no IPO.
Yeah, yeah. I think that NVIDIA would probably not gobble them up at first. And then in like a generation or two of products from now, then they're gobbled up. But I think that if they try to gobble up ARM too quickly, they're going to kill the goose that lays golden eggs, as it were.
Well, you got those... You got the Apple contract. I mean, it's too late now.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going anywhere. These next two stories are very similar in that they are about giant tech juggernauts and the terrible things they do to the people they do business with. And it's funny because it's almost the same story.
I've altered the deal. Pray I do not alter it any further.
Exactly. Now, Google being the first... They are, it's not quite as overt in their situation. You have to play in their ecosystem, and they get to look at everything you do. So what do they do with that information?
Google reportedly keeps tabs on usage of rival Android apps to develop competitors. Data has been used to monitor usage on Gmail's competitors, sources claim.
Pretty much exactly what the EU is accusing them of. Bad timing. So yeah, they look at various things that, you know, other apps are doing well. Hey, people like this app. They use the example of TikTok. Google created something called Shorts. It's basically TikTok, and they probably looked at a lot of TikTok data from Android to try and determine who to market that to. Exactly how to use it. Now, the other one, Amazon, a little bit more in your face.
Yeah.
Amazon might have a meeting with you. They might go so far as to give you some money. They might actually invest in your product, but they're not really investing in your product. What they're doing is getting into the details about your product.
Amazon met with startups about investing and then launched competing products. Hey, level one, I see that you've got a moderately successful KVM that's not a complete piece of crap. And while it's not perfect, we're willing to give you some money to make it a really amazing KVM. Oh, Amazon, that sounds amazing. Oh, Amazon Basics KVMs. What? What just happened? That doesn't seem fair.
In fact, not fair. I imagine they're going to hear a lot more about this. It seems kind of obvious what they did.
Some companies regret sharing information with the Amazon Alexa Tech Fund. So it's not necessarily manufactured products. It's also like Alexa skills and software products like that. They're like, ooh, this app is kind of like the Apple flashlight app. It's like, man, using your phone as a flashlight, it's so obvious. Let's just build that in and then ban applications that are the flashlight.
Yeah. And actually, I did not mean to put these together like this. It just worked out magically because there's a third company. I should have said three companies. And the third company is Apple. And this is more of a case of, hey, we control everything that happens in our ecosystem. And you have something that's really cool. And we kind of want to make the same thing that's really cool. So why don't we just make yours less effective?
Apple limits third-party Find My, quote-unquote, integration under, and so that's under scrutiny. So Apple last month introduced the new Find My Network Accessory program, which is built to allow third-party products to work with Apple's own Find My app. So wireless AirTags. The problem is that there were companies that already had apps and tags that would do this with Bluetooth low energy tags and some other things like that. Those are going to be less effective now.
In fact, because now Apple just rolled out the new security things where it's like, hey, such and such wants to use your location, or such and such wants to use your Bluetooth.
And things that run in the background.
And those are all things that you're required to use these Find things. Well, Tile, for example, they're not going to excuse Tile from those rules. So if you run Tile, your phone's going to constantly be like, hey, Tile wants to use the Bluetooth. And you're like, yeah.
And then you turn the screen off and the Bluetooth stops. And it's like, oh.
That's kind of the point. And then you turn it back on. It's like, hey, Tile wants to use the Bluetooth. And there's no just letting it. But when Apple's comes out, that won't be a thing.
That's because of control. The Apple is really, there's a lot of these kinds of initiatives where Apple is bandying about security, like user security, user privacy. It's a major win that we can see LinkedIn is spying on your clipboard. And to be sure, those are privacy wins. The problem is that I don't think Apple's motives here are altruistic. These are definitely not entirely privacy motivated.
Well, it creates two things. It creates an imbalance in terms of convenience, because Apple's products won't annoy you. And it also creates an imbalance because the trust. When Apple's product doesn't warn you that it's using your location data, you're going to think it's not using your location data.
It definitely is.
But it's just exempt because it's Apple. Apple also has, you know, a lot of this anti-competitive, antitrust kind of stuff coming at it. And if you're Apple, what do you do? How do you prove that you're not doing
this? You preemptively do some things. CNET reports that Apple has hired some economists to help argue that its App Store commissions aren't anti-competitive. And surprise, surprise, this panel of economists said, you know, 30% is about right to us. We look at, you know, the infrastructure they provide and the services and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, that Amazon cloud's real expensive. So 30%, that's probably about right. At least that's what they found. And Apple's going to bandy about this report in front of Congress and other places.
See if that works. Hopefully our lawmakers have the minimal baseline intelligence to see through that for what it is. Now, there is some turmoil in China. The biggest problem with China is that they are currently in a trade war with most of the rest of the world. There is the small issue of Taiwan and the South China Sea in general.
The manufactured island.
Hotly contested. So maybe some of the big tech companies are kind of getting a little spooked about the Chinese mainland. And what do you do in that case?
Apple begins assembling the iPhone 11 in India. It's a big win for India. Or is it?
Well, wouldn't it be?
I don't, because, you know, it'll make China angry, and China's already angry enough at certain population, certain...
India definitely is on their bad list.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're super hyped. This is Foxconn, so this is not like an Indian company necessarily. This is just Foxconn. They're like, you know what? We can build a warehouse or a fabrication plant in India, no problem. Plenty of labor. Hey, sometimes they're actually even well trained in technology in India, and turns out there might be a huge surplus of technology minded Indians.
This is a really interesting article from The Economist, and the headline is Indian IT Consultancies Struggle Against Technological Obsolescence. The subcontinent's successful tech giants risks being left behind. So it turns out that some of the companies in India have been doing outsourcing so long that they haven't really moved their skills. And this is something that we saw in America. Companies like IBM, which were, you know, on the forefront of technology, they didn't really re-educate their workforce. So the people that were supporting mainframes and people that were doing a lot of kind of, you know, the bleeding edge stuff for IBM, they came to IBM and they stayed with IBM because of the wages and benefits and things like that. The problem is IBM doesn't have as many customers for mainframes. They don't have as many customers for those technologies. And instead of retraining over time those employees, it was like, you know what, Bob, COBOL's not really a thing anymore. Get out. And IBM's under a lot of litigation for ageism and, you know, all of these laws and crap like that. The problem is that Indian consultancies like Tata, they are in kind of a similar situation because they've got a lot of people that are trained up for the technologies that were in vogue when they got a lot of their big outsourcing contracts. But as those contracts come to an end and as companies fail and as the economy is in turmoil, it's tough to get that large workforce retrained on what is currently the bleeding edge.
And more and more, obviously now, the IT is not in a specific location. And if people are working from home, you don't need the same IT staff that you did in the office building.
Yeah, and with different training.
Plus, they point out that some of these big companies were smart, and they're like, you know what? Let's just build an IT center in India. Why are we hiring these guys? We'll just make our own. And so the IT firms are suffering from that. They probably even pay competitively and still save money. A big milestone for the stock market darling. Now, even though it has been on a meteoric rise, and it is one of the most valuable stocks on the stock market, up until now, it has not been considered for the S&P 500 because, you know, it's the actual value of this company is pretty low.
Profit, loss.
Yeah, yeah,
profit.
A little bit of a roller coaster, but this could be the first step toward that high mark, that brass ring that I'm sure Mr. Musk is dying for.
Tesla turns a profit for the fourth quarter in a row. A first for the company. Tesla earned a profit of $104 million in the second quarter of 2020. If they're getting ready to build a factory in Austin, though, I think that's going to really set back their bottom line, because the way that Musk does it, he usually like goes super into the red to get those things spun up, and then it's only profitable for a very brief period. I also saw there was among all of the Musk tweets from the call, there was somebody that was like, "Hey, aren't you, you know, did you guys have something to do with the Estonian coup for lithium?" And he responded with, "Deal with it." And it's like, whoa, did you just admit to being responsible for political upheaval in Estonia to get its lithium?
I don't. His addiction to Twitter, it's so destructive to him personally. If he had just the barest amount of self-control, he would stop doing that. Stop using it.
It's like, altogether. Yeah, I get lithium cheaper because of that. That sounds good to me. And it's like, no, we have to find alternative battery technology. We don't have enough lithium on planet Earth.
If you know your audience's shareholders, that's probably a good thing, right? Well, Tesla, one thing about them, they don't have a lot of competitors. I mean, there are a lot of other car companies trying to do the electric car thing, but none of them are really doing it very well.
Yeah.
And most of the ones that are doing it, like they have really good electric cars, the price range is so much higher. Like the Porsche one, I don't know how well that sells, but that's a $100,000 car.
Taycan or whatever.
So, it's the Taycan.
Taycan.
You're going to get corrected.
Sorry.
So,
from Alabama.
Everybody wants to be Tesla when it comes to electric car makers, and some of them might want it really, really bad.
Tesla sues Rivian over quote-unquote disturbing pattern of alleged trade secret theft. So I read this expecting like some juicy stuff here. It seems to be like HR, like not battery technology, not electric car technology. It was their HR person, one of the Tesla HR people left, and apparently, according to this, allegedly they brought recruiting templates and lists of people that they'd interviewed in the past and evaluations of people that were being considered for positions. And that doesn't sound like trade secrets to me, but maybe not.
I don't know. Think about it like this. The whole Tesla idea, I was reading about the bumpers are falling off of them. Have you seen that?
No.
Like there's something in the back and water can get into the bumper. So if you drive through like ankle deep water, it'll fill the bumper up. And over time it wears it and then it just comes off. And people were complaining about that, and Tesla won't fix it.
Because you drove through water.
I guess. I don't know. So they were interviewing one of the guys, one of the owners, and he was like, I feel really betrayed here because I was one of the people that did the Tesla stretch. And I was like, what's the Tesla stretch? So I looked that up. The Tesla stretch is this whole, because it's such a cult. They actually talk about this on the forums and amongst themselves. The Tesla stretch is like, yeah, I know you can't afford a $60,000 car, but it's a Tesla. So make it work. Stretch your budget. Cancel what you... Stop feeding your cats. Whatever. Just get the Tesla. And people are like, yes, I'll do it. Yes, I will. And this guy was like, I can't afford to get this fixed. I can't afford this car. I did the Tesla stretch. I did what I was supposed to do. So if your HR people can identify that madness for employees, that's super valuable.
Well, that's what Tesla is really upset about, in at least one of the things. The other claims were kind of nebulous. And it also said that they had... the Tesla people in the suit said that they had recently acquired new security tools for monitoring employees. And it's like, ooh, that sounds like NSO group dark.
One day, there's going to be like a Kool-Aid truck that shows up at Tesla and it's going to be all dead.
We knew that Karen had accepted a position at competitor Rivian because the size of her stool changed from 1.3 pounds per session to 1.9 pounds per session.
The three extra animal crackers per day showed a level of guilt. The other company, the other thing I read about, I didn't put it here, but the Las Vegas boring thing, that's almost ready.
Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't, it's just cars now. Mm-hmm. It's just cars driving through it all. It doesn't do anything. But that's not his only extra venture. If you'll remember, he has Neuralink. Now, up until now, Neuralink required boring into your head with lasers. And most of us probably aren't going to do that. But they have a new announcement coming up for a less invasive kind of thing. And he was answering questions about it on Twitter.
Elon Musk's brain-hacking startup Neuralink is gearing up for a long-awaited reveal on August 28th. Elon Musk says that Neuralink will stream music right into your brain. It's going to vibrate the little bone at the back of your ear. So,
I don't know if they've confirmed that's how it's going to work.
It's like the jawbone transmission thing. There's some Bluetooth headsets that work similarly.
Right, I think their thing might be different. I don't know how.
I guess we'll find out in about a month.
Sure, that couldn't have any unforeseen side effects.
I think there was an episode of Doctor Who about this.
Now, let's say that you got a little extra money laying around and you're worried about, I don't know, hyperinflationary collapse.
Food.
And so you want to put it in something that you think, maybe, hey, cryptocurrency, that sounds like a good idea. And let's say that you also fundamentally don't understand why cryptocurrency was created. Then you can do this.
Banks in the U.S. can now offer cryptocurrency custody services, a regulator has said. This is on CoinDesk. So banks can hold your crypto?
Except there's no physical...
Well, no, that's it's like Coinbase or CoinDesk. I mean, there's no physical, but, you know, there kind of is.
It's certainly not going to be an FDIC thing, right? I don't know what kind of, like, security you would have. What kind of guarantee you'd have for that?
Yeah. That's a good point. I don't think Coinbase does not have an insurance policy if they get hacked.
I don't think so. No. So, yeah. Interesting. You would think with if you just did like cold wallet in a vault somewhere in a deposit box.
As a backup. That wouldn't be terrible.
Well, but I mean, why have it online at all if you're going to do it like that? If you're not actively trading it, I don't know. It'd be interesting to see how they interpret that. I'm sure somebody's going to get hacked and stolen. The new way of robbing a bank will be remotely. From Ukraine. This one is unsurprising. Just more of the same trend as the world, you know, spirals into the pandemic.
Who still needs the office? U.S. companies start cutting space, according to Reuters. It's like, hey, you know what? These people are working from home. We've got record unemployment, and the people that have jobs are very thankful to have jobs, so they're working twice as hard. So why would we need office space again?
Office... You know, real estate and payment for office space is the number two expense for most businesses. Guess what number one is? Payroll. Got a solution for that, too.
LinkedIn has cut 960 jobs as the pandemic puts the brakes on corporate hiring, according to Reuters. How, like, LinkedIn, 960 jobs? For what LinkedIn purports its mission to be, I could have a team of, like, 12 college students, a couple execs, and like 8 programmers run the entire company with automation.
That's 6% of their workforce.
Yeah.
Yeah. They may have ballooned out of control at some point.
We're going to make a website where you can post your resume online, and it's going to need 20,000 employees?
Each individual resume gets one employee. Krista, I wish Krista was here for this because Krista is one of those people who really, really likes online comments. Most people avoid them like the plague because, oh boy, are they toxic. Need some proof? Scroll down. But she loves them and she hates the fact that they are going away, like local news sites, for example.
Scroll down unless you're watching this on Patreon or Floatplane, in which case... Those people are lovely.
Yeah, it's weird how like having a little bit of skin in the game weeds out all the toxicity. But a lot like local news channels used to all have comments, and it was just like a mess of spam and garbage and, you know, hate. So they just been turning them off.
Also just clueless people.
And now one of the larger entities has given in.
Yahoo News has suspended its comment section, and people are freaking out. Yeah. It probably needed to go a long time ago. They really missed the opportunity to use the meme old guy.
Harold.
Yeah, where it's like, you know, the AI is like smiling but existential pain.
I wonder if there are a lot of, like, you know, older men who are trying to get in the stock photo game. Like, I want to get his success. Yeah, you think he'd make any money off of that? Because he probably sold those before, right?
No, probably not. He probably hasn't made anything.
He's got to be aware of it, though.
He's got to be aware of it, yeah.
Did you...
I read this, yeah.
But did you watch this?
No.
This is Discovery, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't like Discovery. Yeah. So we often talk about copyright going too far. And it's not so much that it goes too far. It's that the way that it's automated,
yeah,
no one is paying attention.
Yeah.
And they just, you know, they err on the side of, you know, nuke. This is, it's like the U.S. in Vietnam. just burn the jungles. And who cares what happens afterwards? We need to spend this money anyway.
CBS's overzealous copyright bots hit the Star Trek Virtual Comic Con panel, according to Ars Technica. These are a bunch of the cast members were got together on this video conference, and everybody could watch it on YouTube, except it was blacked out for about 20 minutes while it was live. Then about 20 minutes later, on replay, everything worked correctly, and it was completely fine. But, yeah, the bots were like, no,
Now, this was the one that already aired, right?
No, well, it was, they were rereading the script, and I guess the bot thought that was close enough.
But it's not a new episode, is what I'm saying.
No.
Yeah, so it's amazing that it couldn't have been exact, unless they were using, like, sound effects or something.
I wouldn't think
so. And
it
tried to catch that.
I don't know.
But you just have to get close.
It's crazy.
Now, if another group of people got together and did that, like, in perfect timing, do you think it would catch that?
I saw the YouTuber Mr. Beast complaining about something. He said one line, like he was in a video and something happened and he just said one line from a song in a kind of sing-song voice, and that was enough to get the video demonetized. It was manually demonetized, but the record labels were like, oh, this is a popular video, this is ours now. And he's like, that is complete BS. But he didn't fight it. He's just like, whatever.
Yeah. You should fight it, I guess, on a, you know, a moral stance, but you're rarely going to win, and it's just, why even waste your time? It's not like they're giving you a ton of money anyway. The big Twitter hack, quote-unquote hack, affected some major personalities, and it pointed out how delicate that whole ecosystem is, but it also pointed out that this has been going on in other places with, you know, some more... What did you say? He's C-list? D?
He's A-list in my book. Steve Wozniak sues YouTube over Twitter like a Bitcoin scam. So it was, you know, this is going on everywhere. Like the thing that happened on Twitter is literally everywhere. And so Steve Wozniak has said, hey, I'm Steve Wozniak. I can't pick up the phone. My lawyers can't get a hold of anybody. This is crazy. We're just going to sue YouTube because my likeness and some deepfakes and some things that I said are being taken out of context and used in these videos to promote Bitcoin scams. And Google is more than happy to take the advertising money to run those kinds of ads on YouTube. And then people contact Wozniak and are like, where's my money? He's like, I don't have anything to do with this. I didn't give permission for this. And he says the other companies that he's worked with, like Facebook and Twitter, and there was one other company that he mentioned, were all pretty responsive and pretty on top of it. But Google has just been impossible to deal with, according to the suit.
And he's not even, I mean, of course, he's a very rich man, but he's not going after money or anything like that. He's just like, stop. Just stop doing this. This is my reputation. Now the baseball is back. I'm sure that you watched every frame of all the games this week, right?
Don't even care.
But it is back, and the NBA is coming back. I think it's not there yet. I'm actually not sure, but it is going to be coming. And when it does come, now they're all doing something a little different in terms of how do you simulate the crowd. The NBA has a unique take on it.
NBA is using Microsoft Teams to bring virtual fans into its real-world games. The basketball organization said it's going to install massive 17-foot-tall screens on each game court to serve as a digital stands filled with 300 fans. 300? That seems like not enough.
Well, they're on the sides, too. I think there's another picture of
300
it.
Fans each?
See, it's like it's on all sides of the court. Wonder how those screens will deal with like a high-velocity basketball smacking into them.
I wonder if like you know you're taunting one of the players and they just throw the basketball at the screen. It's just like,
well, you know, like a big rejection, the ball does fly out into the crowd sometimes.
Mm.
So if you're wondering, how do you get to be one of those people? Well, you have to buy a special ticket.
Of course.
Do you think they have rules about, like, if I bought one of those tickets, could I hold up a sign for my Bitcoin scam or whatever?
Probably, yeah. You're not allowed to do that in the stadium, I guess.
Now, fake meat is big business these days. it's not quite there yet, I don't think. But you got to think in 10 years.
Yeah.
It's going to be. Now, when it comes to fake food products, if you'll think back to the whole pink slime debacle, a chicken nugget is kind of already fake to begin with. Not really.
Not really.
But it's made up of quasi-chicken.
It's made up of garbage.
Basically. So it does seem like a really good candidate to be turned into fake food.
KFC will test lab-grown chicken nuggets made with a 3D bioprinter this fall in Russia. Now, this is not, you know, they're not taking the pink slime and then turning that into nuggets. It's literally lab-grown. So does that mean that this is vegan?
Well, it has chicken cells in it.
But it's lab-grown.
Does vegan... Now, see, well, this is an interesting, like... This is going to be... I bet there's going to be two kinds of vegans, right?
Plants have cells.
Well, but it's an animal cell. So, there's going to be, like... What do you call them? What do you call the vegans that are okay as long as an animal never died versus the vegans who stick to just cell matter or plant matter?
Well, I think it's definitely true that the chicken cells never felt anything because there is no nervous system. There is no anything. They're literally just growing.
Well, I think some people do it for health reasons, though. Like, they don't want animals in their body.
But plants are okay.
They don't have any feelings.
Well, this lump of cells is not going to have any feelings.
It's okay to eat fish because they haven't any feelings.
But fish have a nervous system.
That's a song lyric. So, yeah. It's going to mix plant cells.
Engagement challenge.
Chicken cells and plant cells, and just print them up, and then you deep fry. I bet those will taste pretty good.
Yeah. I think that it'll get really close to the, because that's basically what they already are.
I mean, once you get to the mechanically separated chicken, it's already been broken down almost to the cells anyway.
Yeah.
So why not? It'd be interesting. I wouldn't think twice about ordering those.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
I've had steaks that have been assembled with meat glue, and they were tasty.
So, yeah. Well, all of those, when you get those, like, frozen chicken breast with rib meat, those are all, like, put together. They're fine.
They're shaped to be not offensive, but, yeah, they're just made from, they're not the
artificial grill marks. There's not even indentations. It's just a smooth... With
I would love to be like the engineer, like the food engineer that's working on that. It's like, so what I have for you today is I've created a laser which will just burn across the chicken and create a grill mark, and it's not a grill.
This one we knew about. I think we talked about this last week, but let's just go ahead, pour one out for Mixer. The fallen soldier.
It used to be called Beam. Microsoft's live streaming service Mixer shuts down today. I looked through Mixer on the last day it was operational, and most of the streams, like the article says that most of the streams look like everybody was going to Twitch. I'd say that it looked to me like it was about 2 in 10 were going somewhere other than Twitch.
Well, you can see, like in the screenshot here, mostly just have the Twitch link.
Yeah, and they're just streaming that as live. It's like, please come to the new platform.
Yeah.
I bet in the same way that AMD had popped the bubbly after the Intel shareholders call, I bet Twitch popped the bubbly after the Mixer shutdown.
I think Twitch is so far ahead, they don't even care. You know what? They're just day drinking anyway because they don't have to compete.
It's crazy because Twitch feels like a startup, like that has no idea what it's doing and is just loosely held together with bailing wire and duct tape.
It's so bad. Like it's constantly buffering and it doesn't work, and like broadcasting to Twitch, that is a constant struggle.
Yeah.
But somehow the magic is there and you can't reproduce it. I don't know. I kind of like it. I did not follow this. Did you follow this?
No,
very much?
I didn't follow this.
I read this and I feel like this is, we got two stories here, Bloomberg. Well, that's funny. Bloomberg Businessweek doesn't paywall. So I don't know exactly what they did. I think this was kind of like a long time coming. Maybe. Yeah.
Bloomberg and the other Bloomberg have similar headlines. Ubisoft family accused of mishandling sexual misconduct claims. A scandal. The family-run video game company has disrupted their inner circle and incited calls for more drastic changes. So There's aspects of this that seem like it's some sort of bid for a hostile takeover to try to get the family out. And then there are other aspects of this that seem credible. So, I don't know.
And so this one's just talking about how they kind of laid out a plan for what they're going to do.
And then there's a quarterly sales jump.
And announced that they're doing very well.
You think that's because people are at home?
Could have something to do with it, man. I think the real problem with Ubisoft is just the anti-customer practices that they get into. It's ridiculous.
You know, the AMD earnings call was yesterday, but we can't report it because we don't know what it is yet. So we'll have that next week. It's probably going to be something really interesting. But also in the U.S., the extra unemployment ends this week, and it's Wednesday. So by now, there may be even more rioting in the streets. I don't know.
You mean an AMD fanboy like you hasn't purchased one share so you can go in there and listen?
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
Oh, you're talking about the adjusted date.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. So, yeah, apparently, now they did talk about this one guy. I can't pronounce his name. Can you pronounce?
We're recording this before the shareholder call.
Gilmots,
yeah.
They talked about him, and like apparently he just like, you know, women were objects to him. He hosted his meetings at strip clubs, and if the women didn't want to go, he was like, all right, don't go. And my favorite thing about him they talk about is like walking through the halls, if you greeted him, he would growl at you.
Is he on the spectrum or just an awful person?
Yes. Minecraft I think it's the number one selling game of all time, right?
I think so.
Massive, massive, massive business opportunity. It has been purchased by Microsoft. Now, before it was purchased by Microsoft, they set up a big cloud system for, because, you know, a lot of players, a lot of stuff to manage, and they went with not Azure.
Azure wasn't a thing at the time. Microsoft owned Minecraft will stop using Amazon's cloud. Mojang's use of Amazon Web Services dates back to 2014. Did Azure even exist in 2014? I don't think it did.
Probably not.
If it did, it was really sketchy.
Is it better now?
It's much better now. It is actually legit a lot better. It's a good deal for what it is, for what you get now, which is surprising. And I don't know if that's just a temporary lull because of competitiveness or if it's always going to be better.
So yeah, nothing changes for your player. They're going to change the cloud hosting. Because why would you give Amazon money?
Yeah. Because you already have your own cloud. So,
this was amazing. Did you watch these?
I watched one of them partway through, and it was incredible.
It is incredible. It's when he breaks down how he did it, it doesn't seem that impressive. But then again, it's incredible to watch.
AI upscales the Apollo lunar footage to 60 FPS. If you haven't seen it, you should definitely go watch it. It is just utterly insane. This is an article about it on Universe Today, but you can go watch it, and it's really amazing.
It was something like, what, 12 frames per second?
Yeah.
And he's taking it to 60, and the way they did it, so they took every frame and pulled them out into a PNG file, and then this AI software, which took days to do this, would take those two frames and look at like the motion between the two and then create the other 40 or 50 some frames in between. And it looks great.
It did look, it's just, it is nuts. The shutter speed was insanely high, so they were able to get nice crisp images, even though it was only 12 FPS. So that's also some of the magic here.
Yeah. And obviously they can do that to restore old movies and stuff, make them nice, you know, modern versions. And I'm sure it'll be great for deepfakes, too. Go to low FPS deepfake. Don't worry. Figure that out. This one, of course, the only music you listen to, it's common knowledge, Weird Al Yankovic. But have you ever checked out Weird AI Yankovic?
No, I haven't, but this is exciting.
I don't understand. Was the AI actually singing it? Did you get that?
No, I thought that it was just writing the lyrics.
So this makes a little bit more sense of why they got flagged in that case.
The record industry is going after parody songs written by an algorithm. Songs written by Weird AI Yankovic are getting flagged for violating copyrights. Its creator says they should be protected by fair use.
The problem, I mean, on the face of this, it's like, oh, damn those algorithms. But the problem is he used the real backing track for the songs. which is definitely copyright.
Yeah.
So if you're ignoring what's on the screen and just hearing it, you're definitely hearing a copywritten piece of music. But if the AI sings over it with actual voice, now that might be the case. Is that then transformative enough? Usually when you do karaoke and stuff like that, it can't be exactly the same.
Yeah.
You have to like reproduce the crappy version of it.
Or it has to be thematically similar, but not exactly the same.
And like, Weird Al for sure always does his own music, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I kind of get that. But it is cool that the AI, the language processing is good enough. I don't know if it's sensible lyrics, but they rhyme. And they have the same number of syllables. The other thing we're using AI for is to try and cut through all the clutter on social media.
AI system detects posts by foreign, quote-unquote, trolls on Facebook and Twitter. Researchers training machine learning to pick up patterns of social media posts aimed at manipulating political events. I don't know how you would distinguish this between somebody working for a campaign.
Well, they lay out, you know, it has to do with the common patterns and the number of words. You ever use I think it's called Meta Review.
Metacritic?
No, it's a, so you feed it an Amazon URL and it runs all the reviews through this same kind of AI.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And it flags, it's like, okay, here's a review that we trust 100%. And here's a review that we trust 0%. And here's the number in between. So like, and then they'll adjust the score. They'll be like, okay, if we weeded out all the reviews we think are fake, here's the new score for this product.
Well, that's really awesome.
Yeah.
And I need to put that on my short list.
It's the same kind of algorithm that this thing is using. Try and figure out. Interesting, they pointed out Russian propaganda was the toughest to nail down. China was a little bit easier. Venezuelan, they were nearly 100% on. I don't know why I guess they're lazy. So. And we are, I don't know. I think it's going to be very interesting in the next couple of years, right? Because how disruptive is this current university cycle going to be in terms of the job futures?
There's a lot of universities that are like, we don't care. We're going back to classrooms in the fall. And we don't care if everybody has to wear full isolation suits. We're going back. Which seems crazy.
You've already lost one semester.
Yeah.
But they're not canceling it. They're going to pretend like that was normal, and then you have to build on that foundation.
Yeah.
So, and we already have a bit of a lack of AI in particular. It seems like Japan, China, some of those countries are kind of wiping the floor with us when it comes to AI. How do you solve it?
Former Google CEO wants to create a government-funded university to train AI coders. The Digital Service Academy would compete with Stanford and MIT. So I think this is because was it the GWT or G something 3 algorithm like did a coding interview and it was like make a for loop in JavaScript that does this and it did that, and this would kind of be like that except not with the natural language necessarily, so yeah,
and what's government money for it, but this would also feed the government, so. What AI talent we do have isn't going to work for the government. And the government's like, hey, we need AI talent. How do we do that? So this would kind of be almost a farm system for the evil empire.
I think that the exposure of computer scientists or like budding computer scientists working on these kinds of systems in some ways is going to be real eye-opening for them. But in other ways, because they misunderstand how AI works, they're going to make a lot of wrong assumptions about the kinds of things they can train the model with.
But see, at the same time, I think if you are a young person who wants to be you want to be part of something, right? Which in itself is wrong. You shouldn't be thinking like that. But, okay, let's see. Who am I going to choose as a leader? Am I going to choose... You know, the Google people, Pichai? Am I going to choose Musk? Am I going to choose, the Apple people? Or am I going to choose Donald Trump?
Microsoft.
Joe Biden.
Yeah. Get the creepy shoulder touch.
You know they're removing those videos everywhere?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. They're taking down every
creepy shoulder
Joe touch. Biden is creepy with kids video on YouTube. But yeah, those people don't. Why would you want to be part of that camp if you're a young tech-minded person? Yeah, that's the problem. That's the reason that the government isn't getting any talented people.
Friday, we've got nonsense coming up for you.
And what haven't we done?
And nonsense is going to be great because if
social media.
If for no other reason, we can hear the quote from Mark Rubio about how he really hopes that those unidentified aircraft over U.S. military bases are space aliens and not China or Russia.
Considering how close we are to a shooting war with China, I kind of got to agree with him.
What nonsense is that? What? It was slightly out of context. It's not as insane as it sounds, but it's there's some details there. It's fun. See ya.